Hi, welcome to the East Texas News Roundup. I'm Valerie Riddell. I'm the news director for Polk County Publishing Company, and I produce content for the Polk County Enterprise. And I'm joined here with Megan Whitworth.
Howdy, y'all.
Megan is the editor of the Houston County Courier and Crockett, and Jason Klopik.
Hello there.
Jason is the editor of our Trinity County papers, the Groveton News, and the Trinity Standard. And this week, we're going to talk a little bit about heroes, who some of our heroes are, and what makes a hero. With the passing of John McCain, that kind of got us discussing this here in the newsroom, and wanted to share the conversation with y'all. So, Megan, tell us about your hero.
So, my first presidential hero, or political, was John McCain, actually. When did he get sick? Was it?
It was like last fall. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that he announced it, and he may have known before that and decided to keep it to himself. But
and he was about 81, I think.
Yeah, ish.
Yeah. Anyways, John McCain was probably the first person as a influential or 20-year-old that I stood behind as first time I felt like I had a voice.
Advocating for a particular candidate.
Yeah, was John McCain. At that time, I was living in Orem, Utah, and I was an opinion writer for the UVU Review at Utah Valley University, just this college newspaper. We were in a big newsroom, about 20 or so of us, and we were just talking about the stories that we wanted to write. And it was when John McCain was running against President Obama that first time. And everyone was just talking about what they wanted to cover. The editor asked, who wants to cover Obama? Everyone raised their hand. And then who wanted to vote or who wanted to write about John McCain? I was like one or two people that actually voted, raised their hand for him. And I, like, looking back now, like 10 years forward, I'm so glad that I had that experience to, for the first time as a young 20-year-old, to really stand behind someone and feel passionate about that.
Good.
Yeah.
What about you, Jason? Who's
McCain, I cannot say that I voted for McCain in 2008, but I respect him because even though he was Republican, even though he ran against Barack Obama, he still worked with Democrats just as well as he worked with Republicans.
Right, right. Because it's we've talked about that it's no matter whether you're right or wrong, any relationship, whether it's a marriage or parents and kids or anything, you never get your way all the time. So the compromise is an art. If you talk about, you know, what is key, you know, and leadership can help spur that, you know, bringing people over to your side. But, you know, I, as a young married mom, I mean, I guess I'm the only person here that was alive during Vietnam, but I was still a little kid. But you, if you've ever been in a military family and you've ever had to go through family readiness, all of the choices that you have to sit down and decide, you know, with me, I had two small children and you have to decide, okay, if my husband is killed or captured, how are we going to survive? And you have to get all that documentation ready. So anybody who is ever spent time as a POW or missing in action, they are heroes in my book because they didn't do it for themselves. I mean, there are a lot of people who chose the military during the same era that my kid's dad chose that. We were a long way away from war. I mean, we were in that long period between the end of Vietnam and the first Gulf War that you didn't really, you know, they forced you to think about what would happen if you were disabled or killed or captured. But it still seemed so incredibly unlikely, even though there would be single events or very short events like the Beirut bombing where several Marines were killed. Anybody who's ever spent a few moments as in captivity as a member of our uniformed services or lost their life, the biggest threat when I was part of a military family was that, you know, we had one training incident where the helicopter crashed on ground troop. So there are still plenty of accidents we've seen in recent flooding that folks at Fort Hood or other bases get washed away. So things can happen even when there's not active combat going on. But just the fact that John McCain spent 5 years in the Hanoi Hilton, he was badly injured when he got there and they gave him more injuries after he arrived. It's just that takes a lot of sacrifice for a guy who definitely had powerful people who would have moved mountains to get out. But he held fast to that military value of first in, first out.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when they would have the presidential debates and he would be at the end of his speech and just the belief, like the love he had for America. Mm-hmm. Like there was no doubt
about
that.
Right. He definitely. And I think that's something that we all need to maybe think about our folks who are in leadership positions now even if you don't agree with them politically, there are a lot of folks in office now that I don't agree with politically, but all of them probably could make more money doing something else. Being president doesn't pay what you can make with an MBA at a drug company. You know, it takes some sacrifice, and it takes, you know, and it's, for that matter, any kind of law enforcement. Those guys choose to do that, as Mr. Rogers would say, be the helpers in mm-hmm. your community. And a lot of time it's at risk of their own injury and their own becoming a member of a different financial level of the community. Mm-hmm. It pays like journalism, except in journalism we get shot at considerably less.
Yes. Another group of heroes that gets overlooked are firefighters.
Yes.
But particularly volunteer firefighters. And I think, I don't know about Livingston, but all my communities are volunteer fire departments.
Livingston is volunteer. Mm-hmm. You get $3 or $5 a call for the cost for offset the gas for driving your own vehicle. And Livingston, we have to give a huge shout out. Livingston trains most of the other fire departments in this area. We have a fire school out there by Walmart. Every spring, you'll see giant clouds of smoke over Walmart, and everyone calls in thinking there's a fire. But even when you just think about the dedication that it takes, it's this summer, we've had lots of fires.
Yeah. Just recently in Walker County, there was two large fires, and they were both started last Tuesday.
Yes.
From lightning strikes. I think it was a Tuesday and a Wednesday, and it burned over 1,000 acres. And you had firefighters from Trinity, mm-hmm. from Houston County, and from Walker County. There's over 11 that came out to fight. And it was from Tuesday till probably about Saturday that they got.
And in those large forest fires, they are just protecting the structures usually mm-hmm. around the perimeter of the fire while the Forest Service plows a line and lets that fuel burn out. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, somebody is probably dropping water or flame retardant on you from the air. So that's a little extra bonus that while you're standing out there in bunker gear in 100-plus degree heat index, that somebody's raining on you with red rain. Mm-hmm. And it just takes a very, very special person. And we all need to support those folks because it's no fun. It's no fun getting up in the middle of the night to go chase a fire to take a picture. But it's absolutely worse. It's a basic human instinct to run away from fire. Mm-hmm. Cats, dogs, horses, they all run away from fire. But we've got a few special people in our community that will run toward the fire and put it out.
Yeah. Like, I remember when I was in kindergarten, my dad, he did safety all of his life, like, at different paper mills. And he came in, it was like show and tell. Mm-hmm. And he came in and dressed as a firefighter. And I just remember being in awe of that. And at a young age, been able to be raised in a home that mm-hmm. just respected firefighters and first responders.
And thinking of somebody above themselves. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're seeing a lot of downturn in the number of volunteers and all kinds of projects that just rely on folks who are willing to contribute their time and their energy. Mm-hmm. And when you add in that little element of danger, whether it's fire or Groveton used to have a volunteer EMS service as well, that you have to get up every time somebody has a stomach ache or
amazing.
Medical emergency. Uh-huh. And they just get this tiny little stipend that helps cover gas for getting mm-hmm. to and from. I mean, you might be running in Groveton. You can run to a call that's 20-25 miles away from you. And then you haul them out of the area to mm-hmm. the closest hospital. But it's one of those things. But anyway, just getting back to who is a hero. We've got military, police, folks whose lives are at risk mm-hmm. because of their choice to come out and help the community. Teachers are a really, really close thing there. I think that they are looking for, they are rewarded by what they can do with these young children or adults even that they're trying to mold. Their life is not on the line as much. Nowadays, we're seeing more with schools just not becoming as safe places as they used to be. But it's not that firefighter, police, military danger, but it's definitely an act of selflessness. Mm-hmm. So when you think about they are special people. But when I started looking around and thinking about exactly what traits, is it courage, putting other people's well-being before yourself? And when you think about who gets the adulation the most. Mm-hmm. Is it those people who are really laying it all out there and they may not come back home? And then we need to start thinking about celebrities and sports figures and how they get drawn into this. Oh, he's my hero because he's got more three-pointers than anybody.
It's more of like an inspiration type of hero.
Yeah, yeah. So do we need another magic word for them? I mean, I like Shaq. but I don't, he's not a hero. He's motivational and he's humorous and he.
It's all about that Kobe.
It's all about that Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you're on that side.
Yep.
Well, and every time I think about Shaq, I think about one of my basketball coaches, Miriam Young, who still lives here in Livingston. And if you could not sink a three throw, you stayed out there and kept shooting your free throws and sinking your layups until you got it. And I just imagine how much farther could Shaq have gone if Miss Young was his coach.
Yeah, well, his hands were so big that he had to shoot the ball like it was a dadgum shot put.
Oh. She could have helped him fine-tune that skill. I'm telling you, mm-hmm. She's awesome.
And that's what, like, a lot of, just back to the teachers, is that a lot of times they are our heroes because of the influence they have.
And they probably motivate everybody else who takes on that mm-hmm. extra heroic element. It's because of that teacher. Mm-hmm. I have a teacher that I love to socialize with still, and she and her husband are just awesome, the things they do. And they've helped start this, mm-hmm. the Polk County Hookers, that awesome fishing club. That's Ruth Hollenbeck and most of us grandparents who had her as a teacher. She was Miss Bass.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
No. Well, it was my English teacher my freshman year of college mm-hmm. that is the reason why I'm writing. It's because she believed in me. And every paper, she was just super yeah. excited about it. And I stuck to it because of her motivation and belief in me.
Probably the thing that forced me into writing, because I is a second generation person. I was looking for ways to avoid it. I was looking for other careers. I saw how late you work, how little you make. I didn't want to do it, but I did work for an attorney, and he said, you need to go work for the newspaper. And I think it was because he really didn't want me to be his secretary, and that's probably a good thing because I stink at being a secretary.
Me too. I worked for a doctor's office.
Yeah.
I was the receptionist. Mm-hmm. It was bad. It was really, really bad. We won't talk about it.
But it is. Whatever the skills are that make you a good receptionist, if you have none of those, then write. Because mm-hmm. there is hope for you. Just not at that.
We are proof of it.
Yes. Yes.
And believe it or not, I tried my hand in education for a year. And
you taught?
I felt as out of place as Dennis Miller those 2 years on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, okay.
I was begging and pleading to get back into journalism, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, but I have a large pack of grandkids, and I just can't imagine what it would be like to stand up in front of 20 of those that are not don't share DNA with you. Because at least it's kind of like, oh, you're doing that. Well, we've been there, done that, got the T-shirt kid, straighten up. But you can't do that with other people's kids.
I actually want to be a teacher, like, when I'm, like, in my 50s and done with, I don't know, just my second career.
So, yeah. Yeah. So we need to go out to pasture. See, you can teach in the newsroom, too. Uh-huh. So it's like that. But
yeah. My brother is actually, he was a TV reporter for Dallas, and he actually went and became a teacher. And in his first year, he hated it. But now he's into his thing.
He got acclimated. Yeah.
And he's been doing great. Because he's kind of a hero to those students because he...
Does he play his old... Does he play his sizzle reel for kids?
No. No, but it was really cool because last year he actually got his students to write letters to the editor to the Dallas Morning News. And they actually published those letters. And it actually gave a voice to those kids.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So how impressionable would that be at a young age?
Yeah. Well, I hope we'll get a chance to visit a bunch of classrooms mm-hmm. around now that school is back in session and can talk to them about. Because believe it or not, we do want pictures of kids doing mm-hmm. unusual things.
And
we'll help share those on social media and in the print paper. Because mm-hmm. we want to encourage the next generation to jump up. And I know absolutely here in Livingston, we take pictures on Fire Prevention Week when they get that interaction with firefighters mm-hmm. and...
I love schools. That's my favorite thing as a journalist is to go into the classrooms and see what the students are doing. And they get so excited because I just went to a back to school bash mm-hmm. last Friday and there were kids just going down like water slides and I was just taking pictures and two girls came up to me and they're like, are you from the newspaper? And they're like, we're going to be in the newspaper. And they got so excited.
So that's so hard because it's kind of like, you know, when we're snapping that picture, we don't know which photos are going to wind mm-hmm. up in the paper. paper, even if we have, even if it's our call, because there's lighting, there's all kinds of technical things that go into it. And then there's space. And sometimes your news hole shrinks at the last minute. So absolutely. If you're one of those kids that we've been taking your picture and you don't see yourself in the paper, it's not you. It's me.
Exactly.
And check social media.
Check social media, because we do try to filter all of those over. If you still haven't seen it, call the newsroom. We'll tell you where you can expect it if it was just bumped back an issue or something like that, because it's not. There's just a whole lot of balls that decide when you're going in the paper, where you're going to be. Mm-hmm. Is it this week or next week or Sunday or Thursday or whatever applies to you? Mm-hmm. Lots of decisions have to be made to make that call. All right, so who is your journalism hero, Jacob?
Jason. But yes, Jason Jacob is
Jacob McAdams from San Jacinto County is out on assignment, and all the moms understand. I look across the table at Jason, and Jacob comes out of my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And I will probably start calling y'all one of my kids' names before that's over.
That's fine. Journalism hero?
I mean, is there anybody that Carl Bernstein or—
Greg, I liked Greg Gumbel.
Gumbel? Brian Gumbel's brother.
Yes, who was on NFL on NBC, then NFL on CBS. Mm-hmm. I always liked his professionalism and the way he gets animated when a player scores a touchdown.
Is that even allowed anymore? I got thrown out of Minute Maid Park once for cheering for the Astros.
Well, there's a difference between, now if you're getting animated for the Cowboys scoring, but not for the Redskins, then that's bias.
Well, I was actually animated for Ken Caminiti because he had been out and came back and he made a double play on third base. And I got really excited and they came and reminded me that you're not supposed to cheer in the sport, in the media area.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why I think they're closed off from the normal media area.
Yeah. So now if I do get invited to come to, like, I shot a lot of tailgating at the Texans, and I would deliberately stay out of the press box because it's kind of like, when my favorite player does something or somebody that I know has been struggling, or it would come out against my will.
That's why I've never covered a Chiefs game or a Royals game for that matter. I wouldn't be able to handle myself. Too much of a fan.
So who's your journalism hero, Meg?
Lisa Ling.
Lisa Ling?
Do y'all remember
Channel
her?
One.
Yes. I loved her. I found her when I was on sixth grade. Yeah. I keep talking about my elementary. Junior high. I'm not stuck in those days, guys.
So what's happened lately, Megan?
Well, I keep up with her, career. Yeah. Like, she's still going. I just remember being impressioned as a young mind.
Yeah.
Like, she loved what she did in Finding Out. Yeah. And then Barbara Walters. She's a classic.
Yeah.
And then, as writers, I love Elna Baker. She's more of a comedian.
Yeah.
But I love her style of writing.
Yeah. Well, I probably have two in the... Well... God, three in hard news.
Who is that?
It's Edward R. Murrow. Mm-hmm. And he took down Tail Gunner Joe and Joseph McCarthy. I am now Facebook friends with Joseph McCarthy's adopted daughter, that she was just an infant when he died. And it's interesting because, as we remember, Joseph McCarthy was reading out socialists that he believed were in the government, and a lot of innocent people got cast into that. His daughter now is very far to the left, and she she does chicken rescues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so she's with PETA.
And all kinds of animals that she would like no animals to be used for food and no work, no performance. But anyway, she is. Yeah.
At least she's passionate.
She is passionate. She stands by her principles. Mm-hmm. But it is that whole, the next generation, everything inverts, because her mother was also pretty far right conservative as well. So then Walter Cronkite, of course, because he went to my alma mater, wound up at my alma mater, University of Texas.
Yeah.
Go Longhorns. And then Carl Bernstein for investigative stuff.
And you know who else I love?
What?
Ed Sterling, Texas Press Association.
Yes, Ed.
Ed's a good guy.
Ed's a good guy. Ed writes Capital Highlights every week for us. And we need to get him on the podcast.
Yeah. He is awesome.
Yes.
And just not even his writing style, but him in person.
Yes.
I fangirled. I won't lie. So I met him last December for the first time.
Oh, okay.
I was like, you are the coolest person ever.
I had a thing. Cause I mean, and when we have talked about this before. To me, being in journalism, it gives you insomnia, I think, because you wake up, all the things you wish you had written about after you put the paper to bed. And I want Ed Sterling to do some audiobooks of bedtime stories, because he has that great sleepy, very, he never gets excited. Everything's relaxed. You can call Ed when you're having the biggest newsroom emergency ever. And he's like, well, let's think about it for a minute. But he's got a very deep voice that I can't do. But
wow, I should get Ed to help. I should call Ed sometime when I'm trying to put my son to bed.
Yes.
have him talk to, have my son talk to Ed.
You know, the grandkids play in my bedroom every week. And so there's all kinds of little golden books and all that. So I'm kind of stacking up Goodnight Moon and all of those. And I want Ed to read them and record them. And then we'll sell the DVDs or something for scholarships.
But. And can I give a shout out to one of my other heroes?
Yes.
More of my local, Andy Adams in Lufkin. He was a former editor of the Lufkin Daily News. He was one of the first people to believe in me as a journalist. And it was also Jessica Cooley. I can't think of her married name. Pebsworth. Jessica Pebsworth.
Now she's the public information officer for Lufkin Police Department. She is.
Yeah. Those two people are the reason I'm here today.
Okay. It's
because I walked in with no work history, and they took me in for some reason. And everything I do now is because of their examples.
Yeah. Well, I just think, you know, a storyteller, you can make into a journalist. But it's, you know, I've had a lot of attempts at taking people who were very tied into the community and make them into a reporter. And that has all kinds of varying success. So finally, a former Houston County Courier publisher kind of taught me how to try to identify people, Bassett Keller, that we kept trying to hire folks for a couple of papers in the way, way back machine in the 90s, I guess. And, he was kind of telling me that if you're interviewing, some of the ladies, and I don't even know how come, but very crafty people or people that are good at like sewing. I don't know how many people even sew clothes anymore, but he just said those same skills that you have to have, attention to detail, putting things together in a certain way. And that's the only way they go, all of that, that can make you a good reporter. Just the same kind, I guess the same areas of your brain or whatever, but. Yeah. What about that rare business leader or sports figure who kind of ventures into that great humanitarian era? Or, and I'm kind of thinking of two people particularly, Mattress Mac and J.J. Watt.
Yes, that's who I was thinking of too.
Yes.
Sorry.
Don't forget LeBron James.
LeBron also.
I know you just didn't say that.
I just did.
But, you know, they do tons of stuff for their community. When nobody said, you know, they could keep their money.
Absolutely. But,
yeah. What did J.J. Watts do when Hurricane Harvey hit?
He just started the J.J. Watt Fund, and he has started thousands of after school programs and things like that for, I mean, San Jacinto County here, all around Houston. A lot of these kids still don't have a home. Maybe they're jammed into a FEMA trailer with the whole dang family, and that. Extending that school day is great, and just all kinds of housing renovation programs. There's a list on J.J. Watt Foundation, or maybe Justin James Foundation. I don't recall, but anyway, it's out there, and he has a list, and it's just recently been updated. If you follow J.J. on Facebook, there's a link on there. Talks about all the how all the money was spent, because that's been a thing. He can account for where his money's gone instantly, and I'm not sure we're quite there with the general land office. That we're still waiting for programs about who's gonna get bought out, who's gonna get just what are we gonna do to prevent flooding in the future.
And on the note of Hurricane Harvey and heroes, I remember when it first hit, and people needed boats. There was hundreds, I don't know if hundreds, but dozens of people that took their boats down to Houston to help.
Right, right.
And that's just
I mean, that's a very Texan thing. I think we can definitely relate well to our neighbor, and we probably need to kind of realize that that was a great coming together for Texas, and how well everybody worked together, and with the Cajun Navy coming over and helping, and lots of people lost their lives trying to rescue others, either in car accidents or the couple of young men were electrocuted, trying to make some recoveries. I know two young men that they were trying to help clean out a flood damaged house and raise it, and the house fell on one of those volunteers and killed him. So it's just been a very shining moment maybe for people to come forward and think of something bigger than themselves. And a lot of the people who are out there in the boats rescuing folks, they didn't have a home to go back to either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that could even bring 9/11 is super close.
Yes, 9/11 super close. We're recording this on the anniversary of Hurricane Harvey. So that's just been a year, and lots of folks are still out of their homes. So probably need to kind of push forward and make sure. When Harvey struck, some people had only been back in their home from Hurricane Ike that happened in 2008.
Yes, 2008.
They just got back in their home. Other people on the east side of us in Neches River, they had just gotten back from Memorial Day flooding 2 years ago. You know, been home a couple of months and your home washes away again. Mm-hmm. So we just have to kind of make the call of how many of those houses that have been rebuilt 3 or 4 times, what are we going to do with that? I know there's some efforts that some of those riverfront properties, maybe it'd be better to just make that a nature preserve and move on down the road. River Shack is never going to survive right there on the bend of the river.
It is easy to judge the people that aren't in homes or that are still struggling,
right?
I think, because we don't understand. But there are people who, like, lost their birth certificate, social security card, and that are just...
I have a story coming out about a family that's moved to Livingston and live in an apartment now. They used to have a beautiful home and a great business in the Beaumont area. And I've watched drone video of the water. It's hard to tell from the drone, but it's over the top of the roof of some of their buildings. And it's just so sad to have to just start over. But that actually kind of ties into a story I'm doing for the East Texan. And that sometimes it takes you onto a new path that was better than the path you were on, though, even though you have to sacrifice a lot of material stuff along the way.
And it would suck to go down that path.
Yes.
It may lead you somewhere better, but during the process.
It's a very difficult transition to make. It's a good thing we've all taken a vow of poverty here in journalism, right?
Oh, yes.
Jason, where were you when Harvey hit?
I was in College Station that Friday before it hit. I actually drove to Kansas City and hung out with some friends for 3 days.
Wow. How bad was College Station?
No, College Station didn't really get hit. I mean, just some rain and a little minor flooding.
Yeah, I've experienced some flooding in greater, what county is that?
Brazos.
Brazos County.
Oh, yeah, the Brazos River.
Yeah, the Brazos River can get rowdy. But I was in Woodville, which it was like parts, there was some local street flooding. The folks that lived along the river still are not back to normal. It took forever for that water to go down.
I remember it was hitting just a few hours. It was deadline day, and we were trying to send the papers, but we were also trying to write a story about Harvey hitting, so it wouldn't be like super late paper. But I remember, because I was living in Lufkin at the time and covering San Jacinto County, and San Jacinto got so much rain. And I actually stayed in Lufkin because I couldn't drive down to San Jacinto. And I just remember updating our Facebook page and just seeing the pictures of how high the water was on the roads. So it was completely heartbreaking to see.
And there's a lot of folks that are still, the Impact Center has done a great job in San Jacinto County of coming to the aid of those folks who are still, they spent all summer in tents down there below the bridge. And I know Impact Center and Dale Everett with the Camille American Legion Post, they have done a great job of trying to help those folks. And it's not.
Yeah. And the Impact Center, while talking about heroes, Brenda Myers, she's the leader of that. She is still going down to Camilla and helping people. Like she'll take food trucks. Like she does such a good work for Shepherd and San Jacinto County.
Yeah, definitely. But it is. I know in Shepherd and San Jacinto County, they kind of wound up with some islands there. I know I've talked to the Shepherd superintendent, and mm-hmm. he was talking about they had one shelter set up at the schools, and then there was another shelter set up with the city, and you kind of couldn't make it from one to the other. So it was really a nightmare.
Yeah. And well, even though it was a nightmare, people still came together.
Yes.
I remember some of the, what is it called when people make shelters?
Yes.
When people were making shelters, they were being overrun
right.
with stuff, and they had to send stuff back because.
Right. Yeah. And there's awesome. Been a lot of individuals who were just, they were stuck in their house, and they kind of started helping using some apps on Facebook and things mm-hmm. like that to direct the supplies where they needed to go. But it is, and then like down folks that are downriver from any of these dams, like Livingston Dam, mm-hmm. Dam B in Tyler County, and whatever's downstream from Sam Rayburn. But those folks, because they finally said, look, we're going to open up the dam. Mm-hmm. And the Tyler County judge had a hard time convincing folks that you haven't seen anything like this. And they finally issued the warning, and it went out on everybody's cell phone, get out or die, because the water was coming, and it was mm-hmm. already pretty bad. But they're having a debate now. I've talked with the Polk County judge, and she said there is a movement to kind of, when they know something huge like that is coming, they want to lower the lake level. Well, when you lower the lake level rapidly, you still wash out, you know, everybody. Holiday Lake Estates is one area downriver from the Lake Livingston Dam that they get flooded often. So if you open up the floodgates at Lake Livingston, which it's not designed to be a flood control dam, mm-hmm. it's there so that Houston can have a drink when they need it. And yeah. it's... You wash out Shepherd and everybody downstream all the way to Anahuac.
A lot of washing out.
Too bad we can't just cap, you know, and what, we're going to rent land for water storage. That's another move they're trying in Harris County. Some places that, you know, you can park a few 100,000 gallons of water. Yeah, that Houston is in a bowl, number one, and mm-hmm. it's flat. So if you have all this water coming, can we kind of divert it into reservoirs, or can we a farm if you have extra ponds, and basically renting space to hold flood water, because though right there along the coast, you have all this water and then it dries up and goes away. And now you got to flood the rice and there's no water again. Mm-hmm. So I think they're just trying to kind of, and San Antonio is all perpetually out of water.
We need to meet in the middle somewhere.
Yes, yes. So we'll just, everybody hold a big pot out there and go pour it on San Antonio. That's the answer. There we go.
There we go.
All right. Good job, folks. All right. Well, look around for the heroes in your neighborhood. Shout out to all the folks like Mattress Mac and JJ Watt, who take an extra step when needed to help mm-hmm. out their friends and neighbors around them. Be that good neighbor, like Mr. Rogers said. Be that helper person. When something bad's happening, look around for the helpers, the police, the fire department. Shout out to Josh Sanders, a Polk County deputy who I have known since he was an infant, and he's been testified in a trial this week. Someone shot at him and went to trial for doing that. Shot at some small kids. And Josh is definitely that person who is that hero. He had a couple of dozen other options that would have been safer for him, but would have posed more risk for the folks he's sworn to protect and serve. And that long drama is finally coming to an end this week. So look for that in the Sunday Enterprise. And we will see you all again next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.